Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to the Masters of Modern podcast. I am your host, Ben Bateman. Alex Kessler's not here. I'm here. I'm talking to you guys right now, the people of the show. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be back. We've got a lot of fun stuff happening. I have a very special guest next to me, Mr. Michael Grothy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. How are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, exciting. Exciting. So any tips to break Gargadon in Modern, says Dylan H. Well, Dylan, if you hold your horses, we will get there. I promise you. We'll be talking about Greater Gargadon today. At length. Today's show, guys, we are going to be talking about what I will probably be playing at Grand Prix Portland, which is next weekend in Oregon, which is where Portland is. And I'm going to be going out there and probably playing a brew, and I'm excited about it. So there'll be a lot of conversation about that, where Modern is right now as a format. That's kind of a thing we're going to be talking about. And as you're watching us do this stream, if you guys need any adjustments on our audio or anything like that, be sure to shout us out, because you're hearing us live audio right now through this phone, but actually the podcast audio is going through these mics, so it's kind of a different setup. And it's, you know, new audio for us, so hopefully this is great. Michael, how are you?
Doing good. I'm, you know, ready to be on the show.
Awesome. Awesome. I talked like 700 words and you gave me four. This will be a good show.
Well, I'm an inexperienced podcaster, so
I don't know how inexperienced you are, man. I mean, you play a lot of Modern. You've been on the show a bunch of times.
Oh, sure. Inexperienced podcaster. I know Magic. I know Modern, and that's why I'm here. But as far as filling up space with words, I'm getting used to it.
If anybody here is wondering who Michael is, just in case you maybe haven't been on the show recently or don't know Michael, Michael's a game designer. We knew each other, we all knew each other from the Magic scene. You ran a Magic program at a store for a long time.
Yep.
You design games here at Kesco, the company that we both work, and you're a very good Magic player.
So. Yeah, and I've been helping out producing the podcast, so sometimes you'll see me in the YouTube chat or yelling comments from off screen when Alex forgets a card name.
Which is frequently. We'll see. We'll see if you mispronounce as many card names as Alex. It seems impossible.
I don't think I could do it if I tried.
I think he like that's like a thing. I think he acts. He's like an idiot savant now with the show. I think he pretends to make mistakes, but I think he actually
does
it. You
gotta have a brand, right?
I think he does it on purpose because I think he knows that I find it kind of funny and that I'll make fun of him and it'll be good for the show. So that's what I think.
It's but banter.
Yeah, it's banter. Exactly. So anyway, guys, this is the Masters of Modern podcast. We talk about Modern here on the show. We have been doing this for like 4 years now, and this is kind of an interesting week. A few things have happened. If you want to follow along with the conversation with what we're doing, you can find me personally at Ben Bateman Media. Where can the folks find you?
I'm at DUDARDD on Twitter. I'm not a very active Twitter user, but I'm there. I'm also on the Masters of Modern Facebook group, which is a big group, great place to discuss Modern. And I am lurking around there. I tend to be there more often than Twitter.
That group is pretty sweet. On Facebook, you can find it. It's got like almost 5,000 people now, so there's a lot of good Modern discussion that happens there. We will be talking today about the banned and restricted announcement that happened this week and the total lack of banned and restricted cards. We will be talking about the state of Modern, what I should play at Grand Prix Portland, what you can expect to see out of the format, so on and so forth. So in the meantime, guys, that's where you can follow us on Twitter. We have the Facebook group. I say we just jump straight into things.
Yeah.
So, banned and restricted announcement this week, no changes. What are your thoughts?
It's interesting. I mean, I saw, you know, like it typically is, there's a lot of people on the Magic internet thinking that maybe a ban was due, you know, maybe Ancient Stirrings, maybe Faithless Looting, Mox Opal, luckily, flying under the radar this time around. I didn't hear anybody talking about it. But yeah, I mean, Faithless Looting and Ancient Stirrings are the big ones. I also always see a lot of calls for unbans, you know, Splinter Twin, which I don't think is particularly realistic, but Stoneforge as well. I mean, in a format like where Modern's at today, Stoneforge is not doing even close to the most egregious things. You know, when I'm putting two hollow ones into play on turn two, your Batterskull on turn three is not as impressive.
Yeah, Batterskull's like... that whole combination of like a sorcery speed turn two card that draws you a card that then like you have to untap, use almost the entire next turn to get it out, and then it can just be like...
We are getting it out at instant speed. That's not irrelevant. You know, the decks we see in Legacy typically playing Stoneforge are like decks that have things to do with their mana on the other person's turn as well.
But even that, like there's just so many of the decks playing cards that would get rid of it. Like, okay, just a single Kolaghan's Command like kills the Stoneforge and takes out the Batterskull. Like, right, that's like a card that people play that literally just takes it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's interesting. You know, you've got like, and a lot of the decks are playing Cold Guns Command. I completely agree with you. Like, Hollow One, okay, like flash in your Batterskull. I'll trade my Hollow One for your Batterskull and I'll keep playing my game.
Yeah.
You bought yourself a turn.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, a lot of the top decks either have a clean answer to it, like Culligan's Command or like Knight of Autumn or something. And then the faster decks just can totally not even care about it. Like Hollow One and Dredge. Like Dredge is going to have Vengevine and a Prized Amalgam out and just trade their Vengevine for your Batterskull. Or like Hardened Scales Affinity is like, sure, 4/4 lifelink, I'll take two hits from that and then just deal you, you know, 35 damage.
right. Yeah, I think it's my opinion on the lack of bannings was that, you know, a lot of people have complained that Faithless Looting should be banned. That's actually, and I would say that's a recent trend. That's not like Opal's been on the table for 18 months maybe, right? Like people have been talking about that card for almost 2 years getting banned. And Ancient Stirrings has been one of the big targets for quite a while now.
Kind of since KCI and the Amulet Bloom started being really good.
Yeah, when Lantern started going. I'm actually going to move your mic up slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to go right there.
Yep.
Just want to be as clean as possible with this audio. But I do think, you know, it's definitely a newer call that people have that should be banned. I don't really think that it makes Modern better is the thing, right? Like I don't think I like Modern more without Faithless Looting. I mean, it definitely kills some decks, right? Like I don't think you can play Hollow One without Faithless Looting.
Well, I also see some calls that like Ancient Stirrings and Faithless Looting being legal and providing the decks that are playing them with like this insane card selection, you know, either digging five cards deep or Faithless Looting, basically just drawing two cards. Because if you're drawing two cards and you're discarding, you know, a Vengevine and a Gravecrawler or something, it's like basically like you just drew two cards and you got made mana basically as well.
Yeah, like the
so
card.
People are calling, I've seen some calls to like unban Ponder Preordain just because blue being the cantrip color kind of got shafted in the early days of Modern, and now that Modern, you know, people have kind of figured out how to leverage these other cantrips, maybe Ponder and Preordain are not even as good.
Blue has two like really good cantrips though. Like Serum Visions is good and Thought Scour is like insane. So like I don't know, like do you really need
Serum Visions? Isn't that good? I mean, you kind of play it because you got to play it.
But like you, it's not bad enough. Like people don't play Sleight of Hand. It's not like they play copies 5 through 8 unless it's like a deck that really needs the dig.
It's the best thing we've got. But I wouldn't say that Serum Visions is as good as Faithless Looting or as Ancient Stirrings.
I mean, no question. Like the order of operations with those cards, like what is best? I think of all the cards we're talking about, probably the best card is Ponder. Probably the second best card is Faithless Looting, and the third best card is Ancient Stirrings, right?
Yeah. I guess I would agree with that.
You know, maybe Preordain jumps into the 3 slot, but I don't think Preordain's that good. Ponder's really, really, really good because of its interaction with Fetchlands.
Right. You can, you know, do the kind of brainstorm and legacy thing where you look at the three cards, you pick the best one, and then you shuffle the other two so that you have another shot at drawing a good card instead of the two mediocre cards you saw.
Totally. So that's like kind of my opinion is I think the cantrips were the thing that people were talking about the most. I mean, there have been talks that KCI, right? Like that's been a thing people have talked about. And I don't think the calls for humans bannings have been as prominent as they once were. That deck is really good.
Well, it's funny. Humans is now kind of like the police of the format. It for a while, people were just tired of playing against humans. And now it's kind of like they're the ones keeping the combo decks in check.
Well, I mean, like humans is a really interesting deck because the combination of... It's basically three cards, right? It's like Meddling Mage, Reflector Mage, and Kitesail Freebooter, and the interaction that those three cards have, the way that they interact the board, because the rest of the cards in the deck basically, actually Thalia, but that's like just a Hate Bears card, but those other three cards, they're like what make it so that people can't just kill you or race you or get around you.
Yeah.
But all the cards in humans, and Thalia included, just make it so hard for other game plans to happen, chained together so well.
Right, and you have a fast clock on top of all of it.
Yeah, I mean, humans is really interesting. We definitely seen an uptick in banned spirits, you know, another Aether Vial creature deck. That's like definitely been a thing that's happening.
I hear a lot of people, you know, for a while, spirits was bad humans. Now I hear some people saying that humans is bad spirits. What do you think about that?
I mean, okay, so but as long as we're sticking with the conversation of like bannings, there's no card in either deck that I really think deserves a banning, right? They're like, I think they're both interesting and good for exactly what they are. Like the differences being there. with spirits, you get Spellqueller, which is really, really, really good and has like a particularly interesting interaction with a lot of the format. You know, an evasive flyer that can also get in the way of your opponent making their game plan work.
And a relevant creature type, you know, gets pumped by
Supreme Phantom.
Alex here, yeah.
And Drogskull Captain. I mean, yeah, like obviously playing a Drogskull Captain off of like a vial and then having a 3/4 flash that like counters a spell you can flash under that gets around Bolt is
really. And you
really
can use Cavern of Souls mana to cast Spellqueller, which is like going to come out of nowhere for some like blue Scapeshift deck or something where they're like, totally. Aha, I have Scapeshift with Counterspell up. And you're like, how about this 3/4 with can't be countered?
it's really sweet. It's funny, actually, looking back on Spellqueller, I don't even think that card made my Eldritch Moon top 10. I think that I made the mistake somehow of talking myself out of it because I liked it so much and thinking...
Yeah, it seems like a card that you would like.
I remember like it was spoiled and I was like, oh, this card's really sweet. And then I feel like Alex had it as his number one card and I somehow had like talked myself... Maybe it was like ninth for me or I think it might have not made my list because I was like, nah, like I think this card is good, but like... I'm just being biased and like looking back, I was like, what was I thinking?
It sounds pretty egregious that would be ninth on your list, but if you look at Eldritch Moon... There are actually a lot of really good cards in it anyway.
That deck is
so
stacked. Yeah, that was really stacked. Yeah. A really, really good deck.
Collective Brutality and Liliana, The Last Hope. And
yeah, Brutality is so good. Yeah. Anytime you can like not pay mana to get effects, that's really good. Yeah. I've heard. So anyway, guys, that's going to be our reaction to the Banned and Restricted. Be sure to leave your thoughts below in the comments. You know, like, subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know. Do you think there should have been a banning? Are you one of these people that thinks that Faithless Looting needs to go? I would like to know. If you are watching this on YouTube, thank you so much for finding us. Please like, subscribe. It means the world for us to keep growing our video audience. We've been strictly audio for so long. Just a few months ago, we launched the YouTube and it's been growing really nicely, but we do need, if you're finding this, subscribe. It's what helps us keep going. So we are going to continue moving through the show. We're going to be talking about GP Portland, what I should play, kind of the state of modern, the face of modern. Be sure to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMMCast. It's what we're using to continue to upgrade the equipment, these new mics we just got because of the Patreon. We want to continue doing really cool stuff. I have a second show that I want to launch on this channel, and we need your help. So patreon.com/TheMMCast. What are you playing in Modern right now? You said you built the Arclight Phoenix deck?
Yeah, I have the blue-red Arclight Phoenix deck. I haven't gotten a chance to play it. So before that, I was playing Eternal Command in Modern, which is the...
That deck is so sweet.
The Temur Aether Vial tempo deck. With Tarmogoyf Vendilion Click, I had a Tireless Tracker in there, although it's possible I should have been playing more. I think it's kind of meta-dependent, though. And then you're playing Eternal Witnesses, Snapcasters, and Cryptic Command, so you can like loop them where you like bounce your Eternal Witness with Cryptic Command and then Vial in the Witness to get back the Cryptic Command, so you can just like counter a spell every turn against the slower deck, or you can tap their creatures down every turn against an aggro deck and just hit them with the Tarmogoyf while you do that.
If I remember correctly, it was a Shout to Yasuka deck. Right,
it was, yeah, from the World Championship. That's what inspired me to get into Modern, actually, was watching him play in the Players Championship with that deck against, I remember it was like, yeah, I was playing against Brian Kibler, I think, and it was just such a great match that's what made me want to get into Modern.
Well, it's just full of so many cool cards. I think if I remember correctly, the idea was play Cryptic Command as many times as you can in a game, right?
That's right. It's not as good in Modern. Like, that version of the deck was playing 4 Cryptic Command and, like, 4 Snapcaster, 3 Eternal Witness. Modern's a little bit faster, so you kind of have to shave on those slow cards and playing 2 Eternal Witness, 2 Cryptic Command, and you're acting more as a tempo deck. Like, Lightning Bolt is kind of the key card in the deck. We're just, like, playing 5 bolts over the course of a game through Snapcasters, Eternal Witnesses, and such gets there.
Yeah, that's enough. I mean, Lightning Bolt's a really powerful card, and playing 5 of them is super sweet.
Getting like 2 hits in with Tarmogoyf and then just like burning them out is what wins me a lot of games with that deck. But I scrapped it for now because I needed some of the cards, fetch lands and such, for the blue-red Phoenix deck. I'd been playing the blue-red deck in Standard on Magic Arena because Alex was so hyped on the card. I wanted to see, you know, what if it was really the real deal when the set first came out. And it's the real deal. So I decided to build a version for Modern, borrowing Alex's Arclight Phoenixes since he bought so many. And
that's like, isn't that card like $25 now?
It was more for a while. I'm not sure what it's at now, but I know that it's making splashes in Standard, Modern, and Legacy now.
Every
people
format.
Are starting to play it in Delver.
Yeah, I sold 8 of mine. So.
Yeah. So I borrowed some from Alex. I'm playing the blue Thing in the Ice version because it's hard for me to put my blue cards down. But... But I'm interested to see, you know, how it plays. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet. Last week was the holiday, so I didn't end up playing any Magic. But this week I'm hoping to play it at FNM, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I like that deck a lot. I had a version, and I've talked about this a little bit on here already. I had an Arclight Phoenix version that I put together that was Teemer. I actually had started with Grixis, and I toyed with some cool stuff. I mean, there's some fun interactions there. I don't know that I will play an Arclight Phoenix deck. I think it's predictable in Modern. I have to think about a couple things. You know, I go to Portland next week. I get into Seattle on Thursday night, and I'm going to drive to Portland with my older brother because he's who got me into Magic when I was a little kid. He doesn't play Modern. He has no idea. I was like, maybe I'll give you a burn deck. But I think, honestly, he likes to play Magic, but he doesn't play very often. He's never been a competitive player. I don't know that you can just sit down if you're...
You might be more of a side event, you know, check out the artists, check out the vendors type guy.
If you're a kitchen table player, and you try to sit down at a Modern GP, I feel like you might want to just blow your brains out. I feel like you're going to lose all your matches.
I don't know. I've had people who go to their first GP and have a really good time. I mean, I think it's more people who tend to play FNM every week. So they're kind of in the scene. And I think it's a little bit easier for them to get what they expect. But going kitchen table straight to a GP, maybe it's a little tougher.
Yeah, I mean, I still might because it's side events are sweet, but it'd be more fun to obviously have him in the main event. So I might just build him burn and just be like, this is how your deck works. It's pretty simple. Here's the things that in Modern that are really important. When you crack this, when you pay a life for this, most of the time you'll put this in untapped. This is the first land you get. This is the second land. The reason the green is in here is because this card gets rid of artifacts and enchantments, like Leyland of Sanctity, that's going to make it so you can't target people. Otherwise, each spell does basically 3 damage.
Yeah.
Play your creatures on turn 1. You can pretty much mull anything. I think you could explain that deck in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, you want to put their life total from 20 to 0 as fast as possible. Just spend your mana every turn, and that's it.
Remember, the cards that are instants are reactive and especially important because, you know, things like life gain spells and yeah. You know.
I mean, I don't mean to diminish burn players. There's definitely more to it than that. But as far as, you know, the difference between somebody first picking up the deck and a great burn player, I think it's a little bit easier to bridge that gap than a lot of decks in Modern where you need to know specific interactions, triggered abilities and such. You know, having him pick up Dredge and forgetting Prized Amalgam triggers and stuff would be awful.
That's impossible. If you're not somebody who plays a lot of Magic, let alone a format as complex as Modern, yeah. There's no way you're picking, I'm not going to hand him Dredge or KCI. Just do this. Even I would struggle to just pick one of those decks up and actually play well. I would make a lot of mistakes.
Right.
So then I have to start thinking about, you know, what do I want to do? Because you guys know me, my style is usually to play a brew. I'm pretty aware of what's going on in the format, and I've thought a lot about the weak points and what is really good.
So are you trying to stay away from graveyard decks right now? Is that the reason you're not on Arclight Phoenix? Because it seems like there's a lot of Rest in Peace. So there was an article on Channel Fireball this week, I think, that was advocating for Rest in Peace in the main deck of blue-white. Because even decks that aren't using their graveyard a lot are using it enough to the point where Rest in Peace isn't totally dead. And, you know, if you think that more than 50% of the meta is going to be using their graveyard in some way or another, you might as well have it in the main and board it out.
Yeah, I was thinking about, is there some sort of brew you could come up with that main decks like Leylines, multiple Leylines in the main deck and uses Nykthos? Could you play...
Leyline of Sanctity, right? Not Void?
Well... I mean, it depends because obviously Leon of the Void is obviously really good in Modern right now. It's really good against half of the good decks. Here we go.
Oh, I think I know what Craig would play at GP Portland if
Long
he was gone.
Yeah, we've got an Infect player here behind us. Yeah, what's up, Craig? How you doing?
There's going to be a lot of great Infect innovation now, actually, now that Tom Ross is back on the competitive scene.
I hope so.
He's an Infect pioneer, and he was playing it at the last SCG event.
Yeah, there we go. So, I think there, you know, there's a possibility that playing a main deck Leyline deck, I was trying to maybe it's not like a Nykthos deck, but maybe you play a Nykthos or two. But yeah, I mean, it just depends. Trying to figure out how do you get around those, the early things people are doing in Modern and then have a way to still win, you know? And the problem is a lot of the things that are really, really interactive with people's A plan. So let's just say getting a Chalice down on one, let's say land destruction, heavy hand disruption. Modern is such a dense format when it comes to one drops, interaction on turn one, fast clocks, combos, decks that are full of incredibly powerful cards. somebody can just beat you top decking. So if you get rid of their hand, it doesn't matter, right? Somebody can beat you with two lands if you have a really
sometimes
strong...
Sometimes the like Noble Hierarch or Aether Vial that they played on turn one is just going to beat you even if you have Thoughtseize.
It's going to be enough, right? Like, so, and you know, like, you know, Chalice on one, like something like that, you know, really, really powerful, but like, it's not good against every deck. And if you don't get your Chalice on one, it's really bad mid game. So you have to be less reactive. You have to be more proactive. This is a lesson most people have learned in Modern, and right, it's why the format is sort of so linear and a lot of people complain about it. So when you're trying to come up with a brew, something that's going to attack the format on like an interesting axis, you have to think about which of those am I going to use, and then how am I going to end the game quick enough to make that work for me. And I have a history of coming up with decks like this that are cool, but a little underpowered. And I don't know that in a week, any of the ideas that I've come up with over the last little while are good enough to get me there. I mean, there are things that I think are really, really cool. Definitely. You know, I think like...
You'd be testing some stuff this week?
I mean, maybe like on Modo. You know, I had a deck at one point that I was playing on Modo that I thought was pretty cool. And I thought it was close, right? But I wasn't quite there with it. And it was this four-color deck with Tidehollow Sculler, Greater Gargadon, Saheeli, and Felidar Guardian.
Oh, boy. Somebody in the chat asked about Greater Gargadon before we started recording.
Yeah. And like, I actually played it on Modo a bit. Now I was using Wellsprings to get like a lot of value, cause like having a Gargadon on one and a Wellspring on two and then like Saheeli on three, you like make a copy and you sack the copy to get all the value, and that's fine. But getting extra lands, drawing extra cards, or making extra servo tokens with like a servo schematic is not really good enough. The idea for me was that like turn one Gargadon, turn two Sculler, turn three Saheeli, make a copy of Sculler, sack Sculler to Gargadon with trigger on stack of token. I thought was pretty cool. That was like a really interesting 1-2-3. And I was trying to basically work around that, right? And how you can, like, the Felidar Guardian obviously was bouncing the Wellsprings, getting more value out of them. So you were kind of doing that. And
you kind of reset your Sculler too. I mean,
yeah, totally.
If you like take something in the early game that is like, you take an early creature or something, and then later on you have a removal spell, you can just kind of blink your Sculler and let them have the creature because it's not relevant at that point anymore.
And I was playing this with Tezzerets. I was like, you know, Saheeli's and Tezzerets. Like, that's kind of...
Which Tezzeret?
4 mana, Agent of Bolas.
Got it.
Because, again, the Wellsprings to become 5/5s. I think the trick to this deck, if I was going to actually try to play it, would be probably coming up with something better than Wellsprings to be doing. I think the rest of the deck is pretty powerful. Like, you have the Saheeli combo in the deck. You know, you have Gargadon, which is a really powerful card. Another trick with this, and I've talked about this before in here, but Saheeli and Gargadon play really well together because... If you count up what's on the board and you've seen their hand with your Scullers, you basically can go, okay, wait a minute. I've got a Gargadon with six. I've got a Saheeli in hand. I can literally play Saheeli, sack all my permanents, put a Gargadon to play with haste, copy it with Saheeli, swing for 18. And that's like a pretty clever way to win.
And that's like a line that sounds like something that you have to do to win in Modern. You know, like a lot of times these decks are going so big nowadays and they're doing it fast. You know, they're attacking with like tons of Vengevines and Bloodghast, or they're attacking with, you know, two Hollow Ones, a Phoenix and a Gurmag Angler, or they're attacking with like a, you know, 37-37 out of Hardened Scales or something.
And so I was trying to figure that one out, right? Like, is there something there? And I've wanted to go back and revisit that deck because, you know, you have your hand disruption with Sculler. What you really need to figure out with that deck is like, how are you dealing with graveyards? A, are you dealing with graveyards in a way that you can get repeatable blink value? That's like that's the missing piece, right? Is there an artifact that when you play it, you cast that it draws you a card and exiles their graveyard, right? Probably not. Like, That's kind of what's missing. And so I might look at that and figure out if there's some way I can do that. Another deck that I liked a lot, and I actually played some games with this last week, was this mono blue fairies deck, which I was inspired to build with our lovely Ultimate Master spoiler card, Disrupting Shoal, that's behind me here. And it's a deck that's playing like 16 creatures. You played against me. I was playing this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I saw this deck.
It's kind of funny. It's 4 Aether Vial with 4 of what, like 4 Zephyr Sprite, 4 Fairy Miscreant. That's the one that when you play it, if you've played another Fairy Miscreant, it enters the battlefield, you draw a card. You get 4 Spell Slutter Sprite, a couple Scion of Unas, Vendilion Clicks, and then Curious Obsession, and then a bunch of soft counter magic. And the idea with the deck is if you can get out early with a fairy on turn one, they don't realize what's happening, and you resolve like a Curious Obsession with like Disrupting Shoal backup, you just might get there. Like, they might waste their own removal spell and you're attacking with a 2/2 that draws you a card every turn.
I mean, watching you play this deck, I felt like you know, because Modern is so powerful that, like, your cards were fairly low impact
right.
because you're playing a bunch of 1/1s. And even if these 1/1s are, like, getting you value, you're, like, playing a 1/1, drawing another 1/1. Or, like, playing a 1/1, drawing a spell Pierce, but now your opponent has 5 lands out. And you're, like, hitting them every turn with your creatures and, like, drawing a bunch of cards, but it just felt like eventually your opponent would top deck something that you couldn't counter, like a Colligan's Command or a Snapcaster or something, and it was just so high impact versus your cards that it was basically like they were like 4-for-1-ing you off their one draw step, and it was kind of rough. I feel like you need a way to close the game, like a Sword of Fire and Ice or something.
Maybe, honestly, because it wants so many blue cards because of the Disrupting Shoals, they're such a key part of the deck. I was thinking, like, you know, is there... Should you just be playing, like, the 4 Curious Obsessions and, like, 4 Unstable Mutations, and that's enough? Like, Unstable Mutation.
Jeez. Now we're really getting into Ultimate Masters limited territory.
I mean, it does, right? It's for those of you who don't remember, it's an aura for 1 blue. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3, and you put a -1/-1 counter during upkeep. But, like, the point is it's basically blue Lightning Bolt if you can get it on a flyer that they can't block. And
blue Lightning Bolt. Do you think you would play Psionic Blast in this deck?
I love that card, and I've thought about it. And the best reason you would play Psionic Blast is that it's a 3-drop, so you have the ability to counter, like, Liliana's and other things that are good, like Mantis Riders and whatnot.
Colligan's Command.
Colligan's Command, yeah. It's like a so, and it's a nice closer. I think you'd maybe play 2. The trick with the deck is you have to be able to resolve either, like, Vile with creatures in hand. It just doesn't catch up fast enough. That's the point. And I played some games. I beat humans a couple times with it.
I saw in some of your games you would get ahead, but you just weren't closing out the game fast enough. You were attacking them with, like, 2 1/1s and a Scion of Una for, like, 6 or something a turn, and it was just, like, a little bit too slow, gave them too much time to draw out of it, you know?
Totally. And yeah, it was a fun idea. It feels less powerful than the other deck because the other deck has a combo finish. Now, the third idea would be to go back to playing Kessel Run, the deck that I took to Vegas. I really enjoyed that. It was an Alex Kessler brew that I added about a dozen cards to. It's basically a Jeskai control deck with, like, the Saheeli Cat combo and also the Angel Kiki combo. It's really reliant on the
Wall
Angel.
Of Omens too, right?
Yeah, it's like a Jeskai Blink deck that was playing, you know, Restos and a couple copies of Teferi, a couple Jaces, and then it had the combo built into it. And it's a powerful deck. I mean, it's playing a lot of really good cards. You can just win as a control deck, but it also has the combo. You know, and Saheeli's really good in that deck because it makes copies of a lot of things. It bounces a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff you can do. One of the really interesting parts of the deck that we discovered as I played it was Felidar Guardian and Planeswalkers is just, like, really good. Activating a Planeswalker, playing a Guardian, blinking it, and activating it again, like, double Teferi activation in a turn is nuts.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. So it's possible I take that deck with me just because I know Alex still has it built. I really enjoyed it. I felt like I had some ownership over the idea. I would have to really look at the cards. I think we were playing some Reflector Mages in the main.
Yeah, I think the meta's changed up a little bit since then. Definitely worth double checking.
I think we would have to have a better plan against graveyards. We'd have to have something we were doing. What's the best? I mean, so there's, like, Scavenging Ooze is good. You have Nile Spellbomb is really good. You're
taking best Grave Hate cards?
Yeah, Rest in Peace is really good.
Leyland of the Void is showing up just because, like, if you're a graveyard deck that wants to hate on another graveyard deck.
Right.
And the format's fast, so starting it with it in play is definitely relevant because it's not like your opponent already has been doing stuff on their turn one. Rest in Peace is a great one. Relic of Regenitus is, like, kind of main deckable because it draws a card. So, like, a lot of the Ancient Stirring decks, you know, not a lot. But the ones that have extra mana, like Tron and... And even sometimes Amulet Titan can, like, play that main deck as something to find with your Stirrings.
What do you think about Eldrazi Tron right now? The Eldrazi Tron decks that were playing 4 Relic in the main at one point, that was, like, part of their whole beat. Right? Those were Eldrazi Tron decks. Or am I mixing that up with, like, the Eldrazi and Taxes decks? Because they would play Stranglers.
Well, the Eldrazi and Taxes decks were doing that as well. Tron of any variant has been, like, off and on kind of playing Relics based on the meta. I think right now is the time to be playing Relics. Like, I think if you were to play any form of Tron with Ancient Stirrings or not, I think you should just be playing Relics because there's enough graveyard shenanigans that can kill you fast. And if you don't die fast, you'll win the late game because your cards are so powerful.
So jumping off of, you know, my fun ideas, we'll get back to them in just a second, guys. The first question I have for you that are watching, that are listening, you'll probably hear this before I go because this will post... Today's Thursday. This will probably post tomorrow. You'll be hearing this on Friday. You bumping the table on purpose? This will probably be posting on a Friday, November 30th. So tweet at me, Ben Bateman Media, and let me know of the ideas that I talked about on here. Do any of them sound particularly cool? What do you want me to do?
Send them some lists.
Yeah, tweet at me and let me know. I'll be sort of spending the next week getting ready for this.
I see some lists in chat that are not posting because they're links, but maybe we'll look at those throughout the week rather than on the show. But
I can talk about it and tweet about it. But here's my question, Michael. Like, so first of all, what would you play? If you were going to GP Portland, like, what deck do you think is the deck to play right now?
Like, if I wanna succeed or if I wanna have a good time? Because I would play my Arclight Phoenix deck. I think the Arclight Phoenix is a deck that has legs, it has some resilience to graveyard hate post board. So the link that somebody posted in chat just now is an Arclight Phoenix deck playing Forge Crackling Drake Main. I think that's like an interesting experiment. I don't know if it's the way to go, but some number of Crackling Drake in the 75 is a good way to get around Grave Hate. Because
in Modern?
Yeah.
Really?
Card's good.
Because of the way that it interacts with exiled cards.
Yeah, right. So like if you are playing against your opponent who saw that you were on Arclight Phoenix and you like comboed him out really quick on turn one, or you know, not turn one, but in game one, where you're like putting multiple Phoenixes into play and hitting them and they're like bolting it and oh no, what am I doing? And then they board into Leyline of the Void, right? Well, you're like, okay, fine, Crackling Drake, it cantrips, it's huge, it plays great against Leyline of the Void or any other Grave Hate. I think it's like an essential sideboard card for a lot of the blue-red Phoenix decks.
That's really interesting. A 4-drop creature in Modern is a rare beast. That doesn't happen very often. But I guess the way that it interacts with those cards in Exile makes it particularly interesting.
Yeah.
You know what card, speaking of just like sweet 3- and 4-drop creatures, that I actually think has a place at some point, and I was considering playing this in that fairy deck, is Tempest Djinn. I think that card's pretty sweet.
It's definitely making an impact in Standard.
It's a surprisingly, like, when you think about that card and you think about just like, all right, even if you're playing a low curve, it's going to come down, right, as a 3-4. It's a 4-toughness?
It's 4-toughness, yeah.
So it's going to come down dodges bolt. Basically in Modern as a 3-4 flyer for 3. If you go long, that card is not reliant on graveyard. It's going to get big. It's going to keep getting bigger. You can play it in a mono blue deck that doesn't lose to Blood Moon.
It's kind of a good way to mitigate Flood. Like, one of the things about the deck in Standard is that you're playing Curious Obsession, and so you're like, there are games where you're like drawing a ton of cards. And when you're drawing a ton of cards, you're drawing a ton of lands. And like, the Tempest Djinn allows you to like, even if you flood out, you're like, well, I'm flooding out, but at least I get a 7-4 out of the deal, you know?
Well, and that's what I was thinking. Like, when I was looking at that deck, like, I just was looking at cards I had in a stack, blue cards. Like, what should I put in the sideboard? And I was like, oh, you know what? If I play against a Lightning Bolt deck, like, this is a pretty decent card for this deck to bring in. As I said, a 3-drop with Disrupting Shoal is interesting. And just like, okay, like, that's pretty good. Pretty powerful card.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little slow, but I guess if you're in the market for like mono blue tempo, it's probably a better 3-drop than maybe Vendilion Click even.
Yeah, I mean, Click is pretty killable, but I don't think I'll be playing that mono blue deck anyway. I think Arclight Phoenix is a sweet deck. I think other decks in Modern, like the other big ones to pay attention to. I mean, what are like the top decks would you say right now? It feels like, you know, Dredge is pretty high up. KCI is pretty high up. I think Humans is still... Humans and Spirits.
So I think if I were just like going and I was looking to play like the best deck for the meta or whatever that also like I thought I would be good at with the style that I play, I think I would play Spirits. It's like a reactive Aether Vial deck, which as we discussed earlier is something that I like. But right, I also think that like it has a strong enough linear game plan to just like kill people. It's not really relying on the graveyard. It's got a good amount of card advantage built in with like a Collected Company. I just think the deck is really strong. And I think that if I were just to like pick up a new deck to try and win it, that might be the one for me.
Maybe I should play Spirits, guys. That actually feels like my deck to a T. That's exactly the kind of Magic I like to play.
It's got Aether Vial and Collect Company.
I mean, Vial, Company, being reactive, playing flyers, countering things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely, given the amount of Spirits in Modern Magic, there's probably some spicy Ben Bateman twists you could put on it, too.
Oh, there's a lot of good Spirits. I feel like one of the best pickups, we've said this on the show before, but it feels like Selfless Spirit is one of the best pickups I can think of. Oh, you know what? That's, speaking of creatures with really good graveyard interaction, Remorseful Cleric. Yeah. That's a good card.
Yeah.
That's a really, really, really good card. I was trying to figure out, like, is there some sort of, like, Mardu, like a Mardu Claim Fame deck with sweet two drop creatures, like, you know, your Selfless Spirits, Remorseful Clerics, your Vexing Devils, like four Claim Fame, just like creatures that you sacrifice for effect that you can get back easily. And then they're flyers that you have like this fame back half. So all of a sudden, if you just like do it the right way and they have their pants down, you're getting it for four in the air.
Are you a fan of Claim Fame?
Well, it also means that you could play, like, you could play Lingering Souls and Faithless Looting with this deck. So with claim fame, it's like draw, discard. Okay, so I can discard a Lingering Souls as part of my thing, right? Like, you probably could even play like Rally the Peasants in this deck.
So it's kind of a like Mardu Pyromancer variant with Claim Fame.
Yeah, maybe. And like these like two ones that are. Wow,
there's nothing wrong with being a Mardu Pyromancer variant with Claim Fame. I know it was something that people tried out when the card first came out.
Yeah. Kotaki says James Hansen.
It's
yeah,
a good sideboard card for sure.
All of the two drops, just like sweet two drops. I was thinking like two drops that you get value when you sacrifice them. That like ever like, it feels like Remorseful Cleric. Like let's just say you just play that on turn two. A lot of the decks in Modern, they have to deal with that card, otherwise they're not going to beat you.
Yeah, you're going to respond to their Vengevine trigger or whatever and blow them out.
It seems pretty good, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it like gets in for a few damage and exiles a graveyard makes it like better than Rest in Peace for like proactive decks a lot of the time. I mean, obviously Rest in Peace like continuing over the course of a long game to do its thing is like really powerful, but if you're like a more proactive deck that's looking to hit them quickly,
also
seems great.
Also, I wonder like with this deck we're talking about now, if you are this like Mardu deck, if you aren't a deck that cares about how many cards you have in your own graveyard, like you're not like you don't care about types or anything like that. You could also be like a pretty like Angler Tassigery kind of deck. You could have a couple of those as like your haymakers, because if you're going to be like playing Faithless Looting, you're going to be sacking creatures for effect. You'll, in theory, three color deck, you'll be filling your graveyard. Is Reveler just better? Man, probably not. You're kind of a creature-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your build of the deck. I think you can make Reveler work. I think you can make Angler work for sure.
Yeah, we read the chat during the stream.
I wouldn't play them in the same deck.
But. Clark Lovejoy, you're wondering if we read the chat. Yeah, we're listening. Yeah, exactly. Colton. Yeah, Claim Fame Vexing Devil is just a sweet combination. I've been wanting to use that for a long time. It's really powerful. It's a really good combination. Oh, does this deck play Risk Factor too?
You could play Risk Factor. It didn't make as much of an impression in Modern as it looked like it was going to at the beginning of the format, which, like, I guess that's how it is. A new set comes out. There's cards that are obviously powerful. People try them out. And I feel like Risk Factor is one that didn't really get there.
So remember back when I was working on that four-color Goblin Electromancer with Lingering Souls deck? So the whole idea, I've talked about this deck a bunch, but I'll just, anybody who's listening or watching for the first time, the whole idea of this deck was that you would play Electromancer or Baral on turn two, and then on turn three you would play Lingering Souls, Flashback Lingering Souls. So it's, you know, it's not the most powerful thing, but it's pretty good. It sets up a turn four win with Rally the Peasants in hand if you're not messed with. You have to hit all your colors. Don't you think Risk Factor in that deck is just straight bonkers?
Sure, if you are a deck like that, I could see Risk Factor being good, yeah.
Like, you're a Lingering Souls deck with cost reducers.
You know what deck I think you might like, Ben? Have you seen the Runaway Red decks?
I love those decks. I think those decks are super cool. I've actually seen those lists.
Yeah, it's like a pretty aggressive tempo-oriented deck. No islands, obviously. But,
yeah.
But it's like an aggressive tempo-oriented deck that has kind of like this combo gameplay to it where you're like, you know, going off with Runaway Steamkin and... They used to play Risk Factor. I haven't seen a list in a while. Maybe they are not playing it anymore, but...
I haven't played one. I've seen the lists. I know, like, Sam Black was talking about it. It like, looks really, really, really fun. I'd seriously consider that deck. But, again, if I'm going to go wacky like that, it feels like I want it to be my own wacky. Makes sense.
Better to, like, either take something that's fairly meta and tweak it a little bit, or just, like, go full four-color Tide Hollow Sculler Saheeli.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so a couple comments in the chat. So, OMGSickness_CR says, here's a sweet question for you guys. If you ran a gauntlet where you know you'll be facing Bant Spirits and humans all day, what deck would you run to counter those decks? For me, personally, I probably play Blue-White Control. I think Terminus is real good. I think, like, just having access to lots of spot removal and then Terminus is just powerful. You know, because it's good against everything, but it's also really good against creature decks. It's particularly good against Dredge. I think that's probably the one I would play. I think Jeskai's pretty good too, but
I think I might try and go faster than them. I mean, the decks are definitely aggressive and they have disruptive elements against against combo decks, but if you like, I might just try and be like hollow one or burn. Honestly, I think like I might just be burn if I was expecting those decks, because you can just be faster than them, and it's like, you know, you don't necessarily care about their disruptive elements because you're just, you know, burning their face.
That's fair. That's fair. I think, okay, another question here. Sukoto Guy says, make it Jund, Vexing Claim, and Pelt Collector. Pelt Collector is an interesting one, right?
Like, yeah, have you seen the Vexing Devil Pelt Collector decks where you get double triggers off Pelt Collector because Vexing Devil comes in and then you get a counter and then it dies and you get another
that's
counter?
That's so sweet.
Yeah, there's like Vexing Devil Zoo decks now. Not playing Claim Fame typically, but
that's
maybe
really
they should be.
Good though. Wait. And because it has to have more power, that's the deal?
It has to have more power, yeah.
Do they play Experiment 1?
I think so.
So if you were to play this, okay, that's kind of cool. If you were playing Jund, Claim Fame, whatever, like, okay, so you have green permanence.
Is this a Blood Hall Ooze deck all of a sudden?
I was just, you saw where my mind was going. You knew exactly where my mind was going. I was just counting up. I just had to have green permanence. I was looking at Blood Hall Ooze. Ugh. You did like that deck. Oh, that was a deck I never actually got to play. Do you remember when I was talking about this?
Yeah, it's kind of a nombo with Pelt Collector because you play it and it doesn't pump your collector. But I guess like if when it dies, it pumps your collector.
I was doing a Blood Hall Ooze deck at one point. I think I talked about it on here. I must have. Like, we do a
modern
show.
Sure, you did. I remember. Well, I remember hearing about it.
The whole idea of Blood Hall Ooze on turn one and Winding Constrictor on turn two and how good that is so cool. Your Blood Hall Ooze becomes a 4/4 on
turn
three.
Winding Constrictor is not bad with Pelt Collector either.
Yeah, maybe
you only get one pump off it up to a 2/2, but it puts you at a 3/3, right?
Right. It also means like so every time you would put a counter, you put another. Mm-hmm. So it actually just means that the double trigger off of Vexing Devil, you just get once off the first one, and if it doesn't happen on the second one.
We go
one,
up to a 3/3 and then up to a 5/5, right? It's pretty good. 5/5 trample, because Pelt Collector gets trample if its power is 4 or greater.
Yeah, and I think any of these decks that we're talking about, I'm going to have to find room for a disruptive element, otherwise I'll just lose. That's actually why I think, because that's like a straight zoo version we're talking about. That's why I think the Remorseful Cleric version of this deck is really good, is like having access to 4 2/1s in your deck that you can play that like nerf the graveyard decks. And the ability to
hate Bearsy.
And the ability to get them back multiple times is pretty good. So let's talk about that for a second. So you have Remorseful Cleric and Selfless Spirit are the two obvious, you know, those are kind of aggressive spirits that have like a cool ability when you sacrifice them. Any other creatures you can think of that you can play a little bit more of like a toolbox thing, you know, sacrificing them, getting them back. Yeah. What's up? I just, Jacob Mayer says he just rewatched Top Decking seasons 1 and 2. Hi, Fetal. What's up, man? How you doing? Are there any other creatures we can think of that like getting them back, you know, or like, claim faming them? Like Remorseful Cleric seems like the best one, but like creatures that you're gaining life when you sacrifice them that cost 2 or less, like any, you know what I'm saying? You see where my mind's going with this?
Yeah. There's like Kasali Pride Mage. You're in a lot of colors now, but.
Yeah, you're
Sally
like
Pride Mage is a good one, or like, I guess Selfless Spirit, kinda. But I feels like this deck is fairly resilient to Wraths anyway. You're not committing a ton of creatures to the board. You have like a couple of creatures that you're hitting them with, and then sacrificing for value.
I think you probably play 2 Selfless Spirits in the main deck of this, just because it's another flyer for 2/1 that like is going to protect whatever else you have going on. Especially if you are playing Vexing Devil, and you're hoping
Dark Confidant in this deck
because it's all cheap, right?
And it's probably all cheap. I mean, it's as cheap as possible if you're not playing Bedlam Reveler or Gurmagangler, that is. But
yeah, those are the weird ones. And I mean, yeah, Confidant comes back, and you know, off of a Claim Fame. I mean, I think you'd have to really be figuring out like, okay, these creatures that you're getting value when they come in or when they die. That's what makes Claim Fame really strong. So I think that's what this deck would be. And maybe I'll try to work on a list or something like that, and you know, kick this around a little bit. But if not, you know, for the GP, going back to what I was saying, I think probably the most likely idea is that I just take Kessel Run. That feels like the deck. I really enjoyed playing it. It's in my style. It's a cool deck. It'd be more fun to come up with something new. And
you know, what's interesting about playing something like that is like, you know, you're going to be playing like a Wall of Omens on turn 2, and you're gonna be playing like a Resto Angel on turn 4 or something, and your opponent is gonna think that they know what you're doing, and then you're gonna just like Saheeli them or something, or you're gonna Kiki Jiki them. And like, I think, you know, lulling your opponent into a false sense of security with a deck that looks like a, you know, fairly meta deck that they've tested against, they'll fall into a certain play pattern, and then you can like shake things up by, you know, having some unknown combo element. Whereas if you just started on like turn one Island Zephyr Sprite, your opponent is going to be like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. And they're going to be on their toes, you know?
And then they kill your Zephyr Sprite and you just like slump.
Yeah, well.
So, okay. So going back now to my initial conversation, because honestly, like, you know, guys, we have maybe 5-10 minutes left of the show. So anybody, by the way, if you any other ideas you have, you know, leave them in the chat here or tweet at me so I know. But my initial idea that I kind of had, which was this Gargadon, Tidehollow Scholar, Saheeli deck, I kind of want to go back to that. I actually bought the cards on Modo, and when I was learning how to play Modo, whatever, like 2 months ago when I kept promising I was going to stream, I still am going to stream, guys, I promise you. I had to move. It's a whole disaster. It's going to happen. I literally bought a computer for this, so it's still going to happen. But I was playing a version of this deck on Modo. I actually learned how to play it a little bit, and I own the Gargadons, and I like own all the cards for this. Saheeli's, I bought them all. Even Tezzeret's.
Saheeli seems like a card that you would just own.
Yeah, well, I have in real life. I have 4 of them also, and a foil. I bought a foil when those, like, back when I had this idea, because I still believe, like, I think specking Saheeli, by the way, right now, like, I have a strong feeling. I think you can get Saheeli for, like, $4 or $5.
Yeah.
Foils went up since I did this. I think I bought my foil for, like, $9, and I think the foils are, like, $25 now.
Yeah, right after Kat got banned, she was, like, totally in the toilet.
It would have been smart.
$2 for a non-foil.
It would have been smart to pick up, like, 100 foils at, like, you know, $9 or whatever, and $900. I don't do that, but I think that card is just one of those cards that, like, they can print so many things that will make Saheeli busted. I feel like it's just something to keep your eyes open for. But anyway, back to the deck. I just need to try to figure out, am I missing something really good that costs 2 or less that I can curve Saheeli into on turn 3 that's going to make this deck disruptive enough that I can get where I want to get? And I don't know. Like, I think this is another deck where 2 mana creatures, that would be strong. Like, it's, you know, Tidehollow Scholar, obviously. Any 2-mana creatures that I can think of that are, like, super cool that have an effect, then I could work in Claim Fame to the same deck. I could play my Tidehollow Scholar on turn 2, sack it to Gargadon, trigger on the stack, turn 3, claim it, sack it again, just like, oh, all the value. All the value in the world.
There's a commenter asking about Ad Nauseam. So I think Ad Nauseam is strong against a lot of the decks because it is faster than a lot of the combo decks right now. And, you know, it's pretty resilient to control, and it's, like, pretty resilient to something like Spirits. I think the one big problem that Ad Nauseam has is that it gets, like, totally wrecked by humans.
Sure.
Because it doesn't have enough interaction to take out their Kitesail Freebooters and Meddling Mages and Thalia's. And, like, all 3 of those cards, there's just, like, 12 copies of cards in their deck that just, like, totally stop you from doing anything, and you just don't have enough, like, you know, interactive elements to stop that. And you can board into some interactive elements, but that doesn't work that well. You can board into, like, Grave Titan and try and ramp it out with Pentad Prism or something,
right,
which is all fine, but at the end of the day, I think humans is just going to be such a rough matchup, and it's just too big a part of the meta for Ad Nauseam to be good right now.
It's
that's
fair.
My take.
It's fair. So, guys, I think that's going to pretty much wrap up our State of Modern GP Portland preview. I want to thank Michael for coming on the episode, for helping me out, hanging out, talking Modern.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. It's always good to have you. Alex will be back next week. We've got a couple really cool episodes in the can coming up. We talked a little bit about the Facebook group and the Patreon, guys. Please subscribe to the YouTube. We appreciate all of the support. If you are a movie person, check out a brand new show that I just launched. It's called The Action Guys. It's over on Collider, you know, Collider Podcast Network. It's also on the Podcast One feed for Collider Movie Talk. We do kind of a whole variety of different subjects on that show. Hitting the airwaves tomorrow will be our episode about sports movies versus action movies. Why winning is more important than surviving. It's a fun conversation. You know, it's in reference to sports movie speeches, and it's a good episode. Go check it out. If you're a movie person, I promise you, you'll probably have a few laughs there. But otherwise, you can find me personally at Ben Baby Media. You can follow the podcast at the MMCast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Tweet at us. Michael, one more time, where can the folks find you?
I'm also on Twitter at DUDARDD, but I'm more active on the Masters of Modern Facebook group. You can find me there. My name is Michael Grothy. I'm there. I comment every once in a while, but I'm usually paying attention to what's going on in there.
Excellent. Eric Frederick says Jerry B. That is correct. That's part of the show. We do Gerard Butler impressions. It's a lot of fun. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We'll be back same time, same place next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.